I will again draw your attention to the scriptures, Bible, and to Mark chapter 10. And this morning we will read verse 13 right through to 16. That is our text. That's the passage we will be reflecting on together. Mark 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. We turn our attention to this passage of Scripture in our continued studies of the Gospel of Mark. And over the last several sermons, our focus has been on Jesus' teaching regarding his true identity as the Christ. He was a serving Christ and a suffering Christ, rather than the kind his disciples envisioned, namely a political ruler located in Jerusalem who would deliver Israel from her enemies and who will be served by them and by their enemies and will have the disciples occupy important positions in his kingdom. That was their view of the Christ and of his kingdom. And he was at pains to correct that impression. He was at pains to give them a true understanding, not only of his messiahship, but of greatness. To understand his point, he teaches them the need to become servants and to become last. In other words, they must become like little children. They must become little in a manner of speaking. And they must learn to avoid the sins that stand in the way of greatness, in the way of becoming truly great, including the sin of hardening the heart, which, as we noted last week, does lead to divorce. This morning, we will go on to see that Jesus is not done talking about children. As a matter of fact, he makes mention of the fact that of such is the kingdom of God. Of people who are like children is the kingdom of God. And his talk here was prompted by the disciples' attitude toward children. We read about it in verse 13. Then they brought little children to him. Various people who used to follow Jesus and listen to him and sit under his ministry, they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But listen to what the disciples did. Listen to how they responded to that. They rebuked them. they rebuked those who brought the children to have him touch them. That was the attitude of his disciples. Jesus had been holding up children, particularly the characteristics of children, as something to emulate and as something that may potentially make them great. One would have expected that they would grow excited about children. They would want to see these children more and more blessed. But no, that wasn't their attitude. They rebuked those who brought children to Christ. In other words, they were telling these people not to bring these children to Jesus. They appear to view children as a kind of nuisance who would be wasting their master's time. He had more important things to do and more important people to look after. He didn't have time for children. He had time for them. And he had time for the big and for the great, they thought. And so they kept the children away. They stopped the people from bringing these children to Christ. They clearly had an attitude problem with children. And not just with children. They clearly lacked the characteristics of children. And in spite of being taught so much about what we can learn from children, they just didn't get it. Jesus therefore takes some time to express himself on the attitude of the disciples toward children. And he goes on to illustrate how, in fact, they ought to relate to children. There are four things he expresses, and I want to share those things with you this morning. Notice, first of all, that he expressed his displeasure at their negative attitude toward children. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, we are told, but when Jesus saw it, that is to say, when he saw their attitude toward these people who were bringing the little children, he was greatly displeased. Note that word. He was greatly displeased. This was another way of saying he was deeply angry. He felt a violent irritation within. He was vexed within. Consequently, he took a severe tone in reprimanding his disciples. And he was so affected because what they were doing was against both the letter and the spirit of what he was encouraging regarding children. He spent so much time teaching on this, and so much time encouraging and commanding his disciples to be like children, to receive others like children. In chapter 9, verse 37, for example, if I may remind us, the Lord taught, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but he who sent me. That was Jesus' spirit. That was Jesus' desire. And what the apostles do here goes against the grain of all this. It goes against His will, His desire. That is why He was so displeased. He was displeased, greatly displeased with His disciple. Secondly, He gave free rein to children to come to Him. He gave free rein to children to come to Him. In verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let the children come to me, and do not forbid them. He is effectively commanding the disciples first to permit the children to come to Him at that time and for all time. When He says, let the children come, He is issuing a command. And He is issuing a command for them to carry out at that moment, but to continue to carry out all the time after that. Now, this did not just mean that they must let the children to be brought to Him physically, but spiritually as well. I think the implication of this is that children should be evangelized. Children should be brought to Jesus. Well, at this moment in time, Jesus is not physically present. So in a sense, we can't physically bring our children to Christ, but we can surely bring them spiritually to Christ. Children should be evangelized. Children can be evangelized because they can believe in Jesus just as adults can. The trouble often in our day is that we don't believe that enough. And that is why we don't share the gospel with our children enough. Because we think they are too small, they are too young to appreciate Christ and to follow Christ and to love Christ. And so we don't evangelize them. But we should. We must. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18 believed that Jew children could believe. And when we speak children here, we are speaking of children who are at least up to the age of 12 and below. In Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, who believe in me, children can believe in Him. Children must therefore be evangelized. So he is commanding the disciples to permit the children to come to him. He is also commanding the disciples in the second place to stop forbidding them. Let the little children come to me, he says, on the one hand, and do not forbid them. Do not forbid them. In other words, do not put stumbling blocks in the way of the children. Let their parents bring them. Let them make their way to me. Do not make it difficult for them. And the disciples were making it difficult for them. They were putting stumbling blocks in the way so the children would not come. And Jesus says, don't. The biggest stumbling block in children's way is that which keeps them from coming to Christ. How often don't we keep children from Christ? Sometimes we keep them from coming to Christ by not having them come to church. As parents, we don't provide for them. We don't make it easy for them. We don't give them transport, even if we have transport. We don't encourage them to come, even if they can. Suppose we come to church, to Sunday school, early on Sunday. But because as parents we are not disciplined, we can't get to church on time. We can't bring them for Sunday school on time. And so they lose out on the opportunity to listen to teaching about Christ and to preaching about Christ. And in that way, we are stumbling blocks to them. And then we don't get them to sit in church, to sit still and listen to sermons. Some of us have this idea that it's okay for children to play in church while we are listening to preaching. It's okay for them to pray. It's okay for them to be focused on other things. And we do nothing about training them to concentrate, training them to be still, training them to follow, training them to listen. Sometimes we even get them out of church. They're disturbing us. We are more important than they are. You know, they are disturbing us. Let's keep them away. Let's put them away. Let's keep them as far as possible from us. As if they have no souls. As if they have no need of Christ. As if they don't have to listen to the gospel. And then for our perhaps slightly older children, we won't even get them to YP meetings on Saturday. We won't encourage them to come for YP. Even if our experience here at LBC is that so many of our young people come to faith in Christ at those meetings. And yet as parents, we won't get them there. Because we think it's boring, maybe. They need to be somewhere where they can play more. Where they can have fun. Boring to have things that are word-centered and word-focused. They need to be somewhere where it's more fun. It's cool. And yes, they can have fun. Yes, they will have fun. But are they being exposed to the Word? Are they being exposed to the Gospel? In making those decisions, are you not being a stumbling block? Keeping your children from knowing better, from being brought to Christ, from learning Christ. What you are doing is exactly what these disciples were doing when they would stop the people from bringing their children to Christ. And yet Christ wanted them to come. Let the children come to me. Are you letting them come to Him? Are you letting them go to Him? Are you facilitating for their fellowship with Him? Do you do it in the context of your home? Is Christ at the center of your home? And is there encouragement and inspiration for them to come to Him? Let them come. He gives them free rein to come to Him. Thirdly, He held up children as analogies of the kind of people who enter the kingdom of God. Analogies of the kind of people who enter the kingdom of God. An analogy is something similar to another thing, and the two can therefore be compared. The church, for example, is an analogy of the body of Christ. Because of the way it is, with parts, different parts performing different functions, it is similar to the way the church functions. It is therefore an analogy of the church. Children are analogies of the kind of people who enter the kingdom of God. Verse 14 says, of such is the kingdom of God. The Lord is saying there, the characteristics of natural children are an analogy, a figure of qualities that characterize those over whom God rules, those whom God reigns, those over whom God reigns. Now, what are those characteristics in natural children that point to the characteristics of those over whom God rules? Well, there are several characteristics true of children, and I want to mention a number of them here. First of all, children are characterized by humility. The Lord Jesus Christ uses this very word in a parallel passage in Matthew 18 and verse 4. They are characterized by humility. Jesus says in Matthew 18 and verse 4, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They're humble. They don't think highly of themselves. They are just themselves. They are not opinionated. They don't have a high or a low opinion of themselves. They are just themselves. They are self-effacing in a sense. They are unpretentious. They don't care about impressing people or being viewed as successful or important the way proud people carry themselves. They're just themselves. They're humble in themselves, in that sense. Secondly, they are characterized by teachableness. Teachableness. Indeed, they are at the stage where they should be learning. Teachers in the classical education context refer to children at that stage as being at the parrot stage. They hear and they parrot what they hear. They receive and they parrot what they receive. During that stage, they take in. They take in. They are able to assimilate a lot. They may not understand everything they are hearing and everything they are assimilating, but they are at that stage where they can take in a lot. They can assimilate. So it's time to teach them, to give them as much information as possible, to give them the ABC of every subject, or as we would say, the ABC, the grammar of every subject. And they have the character to take it. They are teachable. Another thing is they are characterized by an uncomplicated trust. Uncomplicated trust. They just trust. They trust their parents. They trust the people they have come to know. They trust them to provide for them. They trust them to protect them. They trust them to guide them. They just trust. They don't stop to think whether the parent has what it takes to be trusted. They just trust. It is an uncomplicated trust. It is an unquestioning reliance. They just trust. They just depend upon someone. Fourthly, they are also characterized by simplicity. They don't get bogged down with complexities and details about issues. They just embrace them, usually at face value. They are characterized by obedience as well. Receptivity to authority. That's being a child. And there is something about that that commends itself to God. There is something about that that pictures the characteristics of those who enter the kingdom of God and those who are in the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is certainly not saying you only need to be a child to enter the kingdom of God. He is not saying when you are a child, that is all you need to qualify to be in the kingdom of God. That's not what he is saying. He is not saying something similar to what people say when they talk about Jews. It's like the Jews have an open door to the kingdom of God. So you only need to be a Jew to enter the kingdom. And as a Jew, you don't need to be saved. You don't need Christ necessarily. Christ is already built into you. It's a straight ticket to the kingdom of God. And that is just not true. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Similarly, he is not saying being a child takes you straight into the kingdom. Note the reading carefully. In verse 14, he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." There are characteristics about being a child that are similar to what those who enter the kingdom of God have and are. And it is those characteristics, such as I have pointed out here, that commend themselves to God and that open the door to the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom, you must be humble. To enter the kingdom, you must be teachable. You must trust. You must be simple. And you must be willing to obey what God, who is the ruler over that kingdom, is calling you to do. When God points out the fact that you are a sinner and you need to repent of your sin and you need to identify Jesus as the one who can save you and you need to trust Him, you must acknowledge that. And you must trust Him. Trust Him to save you. And He will save you. You must lay aside your pride. Far too many people are outside of the kingdom of God because they are proud. Because they think they are better than God and better than the kingdom of God. They think they are too good to receive or accept even what God Himself offers. Pride keeps them out. An unwillingness to learn keeps them out. Complexity, sophistication keeps them out. The gospel is too simple for them. It's too ordinary for them. They who are important and great and complicated can't lay themselves or submit themselves to such a simple message. Bring something more complicated, something more sophisticated. Perhaps, only perhaps, they will consider it. And so their own pride and sophistication, inability to trust and to obey, keeps them out of the kingdom. Is that perhaps why you are not a Christian. You're proud. You're sophisticated and complicated. You are unteachable. You are incorrigible. You are not obedient. Is that why you are not in the kingdom? Is that why you are still a non-Christian? For anything to change, you have to become like a child. And if children are what they are, and if these characteristics are true of children, then that age at which they are is one that parents and teachers and preachers must take good advantage of. It is a good time to share the gospel. It's a good time to put the gospel, the children, in the way of good influences. It's a good time to do your utmost to bring your children to God before their hearts harden more. Are you taking advantage of such a time? We must hurry on to our fourth point. He blessed the children. You seen what Jesus did? He blessed the children in verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. He took them in his arms. Now that could be a figure of speech, because most likely what Jesus did was that he put them on his lap. That's what rabbis did. They sat. And Jesus probably sat and he put the children on his lap. Not all of them, maybe one at a time. I don't know how many they were. Put them on his lap and blessed them. In other words, he invoked God's blessing upon them. He said something similar to, "May God bless you." But because he was God himself, he may very well have said, "Be blessed." Through the number of words that we are not told, he called blessing down upon those children. He blessed them. He declared that God's favor would be upon them, that they would prosper in some way or other. He blessed them. He might have done something similar to what the patriarchs would do when they blessed in Genesis chapter 48, just to give one example. We find Jacob blessing his children. What did he do when he blessed them? In verse 15, we read about his blessing of Joseph. He blessed Joseph and said. So it is something that goes with a verbal declaration. He blessed them and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them. And the name of my fathers, Isaac and Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude and into the midst of the earth. He pronounced favor upon them. He prophesied good upon them, so to say. He blessed them. And that he did that spells the kind of love he had for them. How much he wanted to favor them. How much he wanted to do them good. And if they are something of an analogy of what those who are in the kingdom of God look like, it must follow that just as he blessed them and desired to bless them, those who display something of the characteristics of children, he wants to bless them too. So often, we want to be blessed, don't we? Who doesn't want to be blessed? And yet, we want to do it, we want to have it done to us, without possessing the characteristics of children. We feel, so many of us, that we are entitled to this blessing. Even if we have nothing in us to attract us to God, to move God, to bring those blessings to bear upon us. You want to be blessed. But do you know anything of what it is to be like children? Do you produce any of the characteristics of children? Let me put it this way. Because when Jesus began to discuss children, that discussion was triggered by the disciples' desire to be great. When he comes into his kingdom as the Christ, they wanted him to give them high positions in his kingdom. They wanted to be great in a political sense. And Jesus then takes the time to teach them what true greatness looks like. And true greatness is about being a servant. It's about being last. It's about being like a child. So I want to suggest that if you are like a child, and Jesus' blessing follows you, that part of what it means to be blessed is to be made truly great. To be made truly great. To be made to exude true greatness, service, humility. Just the kind of things that call down God from heaven, as it were, to come and make his dwelling in your heart. To come and make his dwelling in your life. To come and pitch his tent, as it were, in your life. And when God is in your life and when God is by your side, blessing will follow you. Greatness will follow you. Blessing surely must include that. Let me conclude with just three simple thoughts, and then we will close with prayer and hymn. First of all, we learn from this account that we must place our children. If you are parents and guardians, you must place your children in the way of spiritual blessing. You must be like these people. They brought their little children to Him, to Christ. You must bring your little children to Christ. Put them in the way of spiritual blessing. And I ask you this morning, are you placing your children in the path that will ensure their knowledge of Christ? Are you blessing your young people? Your older children? In the way of their knowledge of Christ? Are you exposing them to the means of grace? The means that would introduce them to Christ? Or are you laying stumbling blocks in their way? And you lay stumbling blocks in their way when you don't share the gospel with them. You lay stumbling blocks before them when you put them in the way of things that will sap their spiritual energies, sap their interest in spiritual things. And sometimes it is the television that will do that. And so many other things we consider to be cool and civilized. But things that don't draw them to Christ, they don't bring them to Christ. They sap their spiritual energies. They rob them of any interest in the things of God. But somehow you think these are the things that will make them better. And these are the things that will make them great. Sometimes we put them in harm's way when we take them to schools that turn them into atheists. And we take them to schools that will turn them into secularists and humanists and liberals. And not introduce them to Christ and to God and inculcate and engender biblical and godly values in them. Are you busy putting stumbling blocks in the way of your children, in the way of their spiritual growth? Rather, place your children in the way of spiritual blessing. Secondly, we must be committed to winning children to Christ. Jesus, as we have already noted, believed that children can believe. In this church, we believe that children can believe. That is why we hold a junior YP conference. That is why we run a children's ministry. It's not meant to replace your work as parents in nurturing your children and exposing them to the gospel. It's meant to supplement. And if you are wise, you will expose your children to both what you give them directly and what the church has made available for you to utilize. How much of the church's ministry are you using? And how much of the church's ministry are you supporting in regard to children's work? And then thirdly and finally, we must be like children if we would enter the kingdom. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Those very things that you probably despise in children are the qualities and the characteristics that will commend you to God. In other words, in order for you to enter the kingdom, to see the kingdom, to experience the kingdom, you must be converted to to childlikeness. You must humble yourself like a child. You must trust the offer of the gospel, the worthiness of Christ, His ability to save you, just like a child. You must be willing to be taught, just like a child. You must be simple, just like a child. When you display those characteristics, God will not ignore you. God will come. God will save you. God will pitch His tent in your life. And God will bless you. I end by saying, therefore, go and be like a child. Amen.